Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And welcome to what we call the Juan Epp is Life podcast. Now, back in the day, we had Juan Epp is Dead podcast. But before that, we had the Juan Epp podcast on, what was that company? What do we do that with? Nas's Mass Appeal. But before that, we had Juan Epstein, the originator of hip-hop podcasts. And on Juan Epstein, we had many hip-hop celebrities of all ages, all sorts, all sizes, all colors. And, you know, we did our thing. We were the innovators of this whole hip-hop podcast thing. And just like all innovators, we got nothing from it. We got nothing. We got zilch, zero. Anyway, I don't want to be depressed. So for many different reasons, today we're playing a classic episode from that Juan Epstein batch. And my boy T.I., a.k.a. Tip, is in the news a lot lately, going into his comedy career and a bunch of other things. So we're going to play a classic episode starring our good friend T.I., a.k.a. Clifford Harris. Enjoy this episode. Follow us on Patreon. Follow me at Cypher Sounds. Follow my brother, Peter Rosenberg, at Rosenberg Radio. And, of course, Billy June at whatever the fuck his Instagram is. Catch me this week. I'll be in Denver, Colorado, doing some secret shows with Dave Chappelle. They're all sold out. You probably won't be able to get in, so sorry I mentioned it. And then Friday and Saturday, I'll be in Nashville, Tennessee at Zany's Comedy Club alongside my good friend Mo Ammer. Hit me up on that IG, on the DM, and I'll catch y'all later. This is Juan of Juan Epp is Life, or Cypher Sounds. This is Cypher Sounds, the representative of the Juan portion of Juan. You know what I mean. Goodbye. Enjoy.
All right, now.
Let's get to business.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is very exciting. A big Juan Epstein moment. The streak continues for the first time ever on our podcast. What a treat. T.I.P. is here, ladies and gentlemen. Not T.I. T.I.P. is here. What's up, Tip?
What's that?
We're going to talk some realness.
Oh, great.
Talk some real shit, man.
Let's start from the beginning.
Go to the beginning.
All right.
Now, you know what I want to always want to know, and I'm sure this ties into the beginning. I hear you make a lot of references to Outkast,
yeah,
a Quemini album,
sure, and among others,
of course, and you make some Goody Mob references,
sure.
How was that, like
UGK?
How was that growing up in Atlanta, hearing them? Is that what made you want to rap, or were you rapping at the same time and wish you were?
I was already going by then. I mean, the first rapper I remember hearing and memorizing their song was LL Cool J, I'm Bad.
Ooh,
that was when I was like 5 or 6. My sister and them say I used to run around in my underwear rapping I'm Bad.
Classic video.
I like to see that.
But baby T.I.?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, I'm just making sure that's Sounded strange.
Hey, man. Why? Hey, man.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Nah, he found a little stray cat, used to pretend it was the Panther.
Actually, that's the wrong album.
Yes, that's Walk with the Panther. Come on.
There was a Panther in there somewhere.
Back to Cali, I'm Bad was the one standing on top of the Benz.
Well said.
Hip-hop, what? Hip-hop fact checks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when he's jumping up and down going. Do you remember the first rapper in Atlanta you heard? Is there a rapper in Atlanta that we've never heard of?
Yep.
Who was that? Who was
Kilo?
Kilo. What year are we talking?
Oh, man. 88, 87, 88, 89.
Wow. And did he get anywhere? Do you have like an actual some shit going or no?
Not really. I mean, in Atlanta, he was big. He was big in Atlanta, you know.
Songs were on the radio, et cetera?
Yeah. Hell yeah. He had a song called Cocaine.
Oh, Kilo, Cocaine fits.
Yeah.
Well, perfectly. He had a plan.
I believe it or not, it was a metaphor. It was that's when people start calling Cocaine Girl, because it was about a girl. Mm. There's a white girl in town. Her name is Cocaine, and so on and so forth. So he was rather creative. And
really?
And he kind of started the whole singing, rapping kind of thing.
Is he anywhere now? Is he somebody now? Or?
I don't want to talk about Kilo right now.
Really?
You know, he went to prison. And, you know,
was there anyone else? Or was the next thing we knew about the people who got on and the LaFace?
There were so many of those. Yeah, Raheem the Dream, Sammy Sam.
Wow. I've never heard nutta of these
and
names.
You know what? I am not surprised.
Well, yeah, like they really didn't get out.
A lot of like, at that time, those were like Atlanta rappers, but then there was also like, big New York records or hip-hop records playing down there too, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, when would... I'm supposed... Like, it had to be big, though.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it had to be big. Like, they never played Dos Effects in Atlanta.
No?
But you found that shit yourself.
I used to come up to New York every summer.
Why?
My father lived up here.
Oh, he lived in New York?
I come to visit my pops.
And whereabouts?
94th and Columbus in the Columbus Towers.
Oh.
Yo, man. Those are the projects right near my apartment that I stay away from.
Hell yeah.
I know those so well.
Good job.
That's where my neighborhood goes south.
Right.
Oh, I never knew your pops was there.
Yeah, wow, there. I didn't know that either. So you were here all the time. So you were listening to the radio up here.
Yeah.
So was he from Atlanta?
Yeah.
And why'd he move up here? For work or something?
Man, he was a hustler and the money would, you know, the money good, came man. Better up here.
So he was a Southern boy in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But he was here since 1950.
Oh, he's moving around.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're up here, you're listening. So you were very familiar with all the classic East Coast shit. That was all the influence on you mm-hmm. from the beginning.
So mm-hmm. wait, when was that roughly? You know the year, like
what
90s or?
Man, I was up, I was every summer from about 85 to
shit. So you was in the
about
mix.
97.
Wow.
Dude, that explains a lot.
So, wait, hold on. So were you like, do you have memories? Did you listen to Mr. Magic and Marley Marl and Red Alert? Like, do you have recollection of
this
that?
Is a little bit before my time. I was born in 80. It was just a little bit, just a tad bit before.
Oh, so it was.
I was more like DJ Ron G. And
right. Mixtape era.
The mixtape era. Right.
So you had like New York friends every summer when you came up here and friends.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Gem.
PS83, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right on 92nd Street. That's where I should go hang out, kick it.
How come we've never, ever heard this before? Have you told us before?
Yeah, it's public record.
I never heard it.
So, but then you also mentioned the UGK is the world. Did you always have kind of, were you always also into Ghetto Boys, UGK, Texas,
Scarface.
And Southern, Scarface, all this shit?
Yeah.
What was the, do you have a first memory of buying an album?
Yup.
What is it?
I somehow convinced, I don't know, I she couldn't have known what it was, but I somehow convinced my grandmother to take me in the record store and buy me the Two Live Crew album, Nasty.
As they want to be.
You specifically went in there to get that album.
I went in.
He was on a mission.
I mean, I was just trying something.
What did you say to your grandmother?
I want that. And she bought it.
Oh, she had no clue what
it was.
No
clue.
Wait, was it the one with the edited asses or the asses still showing?
The one with they were standing in the one in the pool. Where
and she didn't question
them.
The album cover?
I don't even think she could see that well. I don't even think she really. I don't think she peeped it. I don't think. I think she was kind of like in a hurry, ready to go. Like, man, come on, come on, get it and let's go.
Oh, okay.
You know? I can throw it's a damn tape. Whatever, what tape you want?
Yeah. What's on this damn this damn record?
Exactly.
Only she knew.
CD.
Nah, I knew it was
tape.
Cassette.
Yeah. Cassette.
Come on. Now, but why? But now, was the only reason you wanted it was to look at the?
I wanted to hear what was going on. I wanted to hear that Me So Haunted.
You were actually fucking with Two Live Crew.
Yeah, I wanted to hear that Me So Haunted.
Whatever happened to the Asian dude from Two Live Crew, man?
Where's that guy, man?
What happened to the Asian dude, man? Where is he now? We know where Luke
is.
He was repping early. He was the original Jeremy Lin of hip hop, man. So, at what point do you start rapping?
88, 89, something like that.
Oh, so you were a kid, 9 years old, 8, 9 years old.
Second grade.
And when did it start becoming legitimate? This is what I do. This is something my friends all know that I do. My parents know that I do.
Oh, pretty, man. I mean, very soon after. I guess the milestone that you're looking for would probably be when I started recording demos.
Yeah.
Which was about the time I was about 12 or 13 by then.
Really?
And where did you record?
I had a studio. Well, I didn't have a studio, but there was a studio that I used to work out of called 2560 in Atlanta in Ben Hill off Camelton Road.
And how'd you get in there at 12 years old?
I had a little manager, man.
Oh, so you were like a kid rapper already.
Yeah.
This wasn't like at 12.
Didn't I have a record deal, though?
No.
But you had one of those local hustling managers who was getting you on showcases and take...
Yeah, I've won showcases and talent shows all the time.
What was your name?
I was in the circuit. I'm not telling you
that. Oh, come on, man. That's the gem we need. That's the gem we need.
I'm not telling you that.
It was that bad?
I never lived.
Was it like Clifford the Trap Dog or something?
Okay. Oh, I wonder what the hell that was. Come on, man. Everyone has a bad OG hip hop name.
DJ Astro. Man.
I know, as a matter of fact.
DJ Astro?
Look, Astro.
As a matter of fact, though, real talk, I believe my name was Tip at that time.
So it was even before that you had the bad name?
Nah, it was, I think, when I got the manager, I think then they say, look, we're going to have to change this name. You know what I'm saying?
But what was it before you changed the name?
See, yeah, that's what I'm
But listen, saying. You were 11. Who's going to make fun of you? You were 10 years old.
Who? You.
Well, that's I will, you. Yes, but I won't but I won't mean it. Of course I will.
Nah, I'm not going to do it.
So why Tip? What's Tip?
That's my name. That's my name. That's what my mom called me.
Oh, so you had that name before. Did it have nothing to do with Q-Tip?
Nah, that's the reason why. That's T.I. when I was on Arista.
That's why it's T.I.
That's why it's T.I. Oh. now. But my name, my father started calling me Tip when I was a baby.
Oh.
So that's always been my name.
Oh, so Tip is your name?
Yeah.
Like nickname, like growing up family name.
Everybody. Teachers called me that.
It's sort of annoying. I would sort of hate if I wasn't able to have my name on a record label because another artist had it because it was their rap name.
Yeah.
And it was my real name.
What do you do?
Did you and Q-Tip ever talk names?
I mean, we speak. We're very cordial. I got an enormous amount of respect for him. We've spoken on several occasions, but that never came up.
Tip is a god. At least if there's someone it's going to have to be for. At least you don't have to change your name for like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, it's Q-Tip. You're like, all right, I get it.
I get it.
Well, it's not that big a deal.
And then were you pursuing it? Until you got into high school and all that stuff?
Yeah.
But what did, like, the street life come in? Like,
yeah, I mean, when I found out I could make money, you know, when I started selling drugs, rap kind of took a backseat.
Yeah.
Like, I go do a showcase, I win $250. You know, I stand outside for a couple of hours, I make $1,250.
No, I'm no math magician, if you will.
Where? Remember when I went to shoot with you for MTV?
Yeah, we went golfing.
Golfing, and then we did the golfing, and then we went to the Trizap. around there, that was your neighborhood?
Yeah.
That was where you grew up? Like,
yeah.
This was in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Y'all went to the trap in Atlanta?
I mean, we had to stay in the car for a while until they went and had a talk with the people who were inside the houses. And they're like, yeah, there's going to be some people with cameras.
Yo, what happens if you were to show up there today?
I mean, nothing. I hop out and say, what's up?
And you feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah. Only thing I don't feel comfortable doing is, you know, just, you see, due to my legal situation, you know what I'm saying, I can't really be around certain things. So if I'm just over there saying what's up and it happens to be a raid at the time or anything happens to happen. Mess,
yeah. Probably not worth going to say hello for that. Yeah, probably not.
You get it.
Yeah, that doesn't... Think. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. So I commend you.
You can never win in the first place.
No, I would have never. Let's do all the things I would have never done. Been to the trap. Nah, made any money.
It was real.
I'm sure.
But now, what's the difference between the street game when you used to come to New York and in Atlanta? Was there like big differences?
Yeah. I mean, up here it was so many more people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like the difference in a Walmart and a bodega. Mm. You know what I'm saying? In a Walmart, you just see people come and go all day, every day. You don't know who they are.
Right.
You don't recognize their faces. You just know that they're here. They're consumers. Mm. They're patronizing with your business. You say thank you, you don't really mean it, and they leave. You know what I'm saying? Whereas at a bodega or a mom and pop spot, you know these people. They come in every day. You know, today you want a loaf of milk, a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk. Hey, don't do that.
I didn't say anything.
A loaf of bread, gallon of milk.
He's ready for you.
Block of cheese.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And Atlanta being the bodega.
Is the mom and pop star. I knew all of my J's.
Right.
I knew all of them. I knew when they got paid.
What's a J?
Junkie. I knew when they got paid. I knew when they, you know, what they came to get, who their friends were. Yeah,
people came early
when
the
they
morning.
Got off work. I knew if they asked for something on consignment, whether or not they were going to pay back. You know what I'm saying? I just...
So if someone asked...
Very personal, but in New York, it was just people coming and going. So you just...
Did you hustle in New York?
Nah, not really. Not like that. You know what I'm saying? I kind of got out the way in New York. Just because, man, my pops was up here, and he was so adamant about me never getting in anywhere close to that life. Mm. So, you know, I was afraid to embarrass my pops. Up
right,
here.
Right, right. Is there anybody, sorry.
Go ahead.
Anybody that you used to hang out with when you used to come stay in New York that you still know? Like, is anybody still
Man,
around?
Nah, I don't know where those guys at. I remember.
Do you think they know it's you? Like,
yeah,
they
I
have
think,
to know
I
it's
think
you,
so.
Right?
I think so. Because I was rapping up here. I used to come up here and rap and roast people.
I never heard nobody talk about Tipman in the
like
projects.
That.
I used to come up here.
What's that, like Upper West Side?
That's the Upper West Side. You ever do anything outside?
Puerto Rican friends, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I did.
Dominican friends.
And Dominicans, yeah.
Florida Mayo, get a Nutcracker.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back to hip-hop real quick, though.
All right.
So then when is the big break for you? When does the big thing happen? When does it go from you're rapping to you have a deal?
99.
And who finds you?
A guy named KP, who was in a group called PA.
KP, who now runs Yellow Wolf's career.
Yeah, KP signed me.
So he signs you, gets you on Arista.
LaFace.
LaFace, yeah. At the time. And do you remember the first big rapper you met?
I met all of them at the same time, Outkast and Goody Mob.
Did you meet them?
Oh, LaFace.
Yeah, we went to...
But they were already there for a while,
but I
right?
think before I met them, even before I met them, I met Usher.
Just in Atlanta?
Nah, with KP, hanging out with KP.
Gotcha.
KP was A&R and Usher's record.
So. KP was the DJ for PA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
were they Dungeon Family or like, mm-hmm. like associated, right?
Yeah.
They weren't officially Dungeon Family, right?
I don't know, I think they were.
I think they were.
Really?
Mm-hmm. If you listen to the first Outkast album, you hear him talking a lot about PA.
And
they went, I think they like it don't seem official because they went, I think, to Interscope.
It's something like the that. Group, they went and tried on, to do their own deal right. with their own label.
Instead
didn't
of going
go
through like the Dungeon Family
right.
deal.
Right. They didn't go through Organized Noise.
I'm telling you that
they
was.
Wanted to they wanted to kind of like do their own.
Mistake. But not only for the reason you think, not only, not even the shit talking, not even for the reason you think, but as a consumer who was not there, I was very unaware of the association as a result. So when you saw the PA records, you had no real,
yeah.
unless you were going in and taking the time to listen to it and really pay attention, you might not know.
But I mean, in their defense, with exception of Outkast and, you know, some members of Goody Mob, I think PA made more money than anybody over there.
Really?
Yeah. P- PA got paid, man.
What, from the deal? Or
I don't know.
Did they have a hit?
I don't know. I mean, I think everyone just saw enormous potential in them.
There's money and potential.
Who's the rappers in PA?
Reese and Mello.
Are they?
I mean, Reese is now, he's still a producer. He produces with Jasper. He does a lot of Lloyd stuff. Right? Yeah.
I love Lloyd.
They always had the dopest beats, you know what I'm saying?
I hung out with a gentleman recently who's a close friend of yours, who is such a gentleman.
Who that?
He's so curious to know, who could we know in common that I actually like and likes him?
He don't believe
gentleman. Who is this?
Killer Mike.
Killer Mike, yeah.
The one that was the one he thought maybe it was Killer Mike.
Yeah. He's about to drop an album.
Just dropped Tuesday.
Just dropped with
rap
LP.
Music, rap music, yeah, it's like that.
But you know he dropped an album with LP from Company Flow, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to have LP come in for a 1-Ep too. What, he said he met you. He said y'all's grandmothers live down the block from each other? Or?
Yeah, he's from MLK, Adamville. I'm from Bankhead, which is basically two major avenues that are parallel to each other, separated by about 2 or 3 streetlights.
So you knew him before anything happened?
Well, no, I didn't know him back when I was, you know, in the world, as we say. But, I mean, he was one of the first that I knew once I was introduced into this new way of life.
He's a smart dude.
Yeah, extremely. He went to Morehouse.
Well, is it? Sorry, go ahead, finish. I gotta...
Well, no, I just find that...
Uh-oh.
He just has Mike has a very deep world view. Like, you can sense it on his records.
True.
You could sense it from the first appearance you heard him on was Whole World.
He's doing hanging out.
He did an interview for my show, but he came to the crib to do it because I knew him already and know he's a cool dude. So we just came by.
He just invites everybody to his crib.
But they're not random. They're all good people. Only good people would I invite. He brought his wife. Like, they just came and hung. It was a Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
I mean, I'm wondering, why is Killer Mike going to
Rosenberg's house?
Random Rosenberg's house.
Rosenberg.
That's a random trip to random Rosenberg.
Although it's
house.
In your old neighborhood in New York. So who would have guessed that in the first place?
So that's why all my old playmates are.
Exactly.
At Rosenberg's house.
They're all down. That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah, Tim, where you been?
Noel, Louis, Fernando. What are you doing here?
Yo, that shit, by the way, that song you did with Tip, with Mike, was fucking cracked. Ready, Set, Go.
Oh, yeah.
From just a couple years ago.
Appreciate it, man. We did a pretty good one this time, man. Me, him, and Bun.
On his album or on your album?
New album, on this new album.
Yours?
His.
On his new album.
Yeah, rap music. Yeah.
So you check for that. That's him and LP's album. That's out. That's getting critical love and supposed to be very good.
Like that, man. Dope.
He had a dope conversation too about how basically people come up to him and they go, I think people see his friendship with you, and he has a line in the song. He says a lot of people come up to him and say, I'm sorry things turned out for you how they did. He's like, dog, I'm sorry you have a 9-to-5. My life is great. I make music for a living. I'm good. Trust me, I'm good. But he spoke really highly about your loyalty. And I was like, and he, you know, he was kind of surprised that I wasn't surprised. I said, knowing Tip, it does not surprise me that he's that kind of dude. But I think people are surprised when they hear in general that someone who gets to your level, let's be honest, man, you got to a very high echelon. I'm a hip-hop nerd. When you break it down, T.I. ended up in you are in the stratosphere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're just about as high up there as it gets.
Well, thank you.
And that has to be, it can put a strain on relationships, I would guess.
I think I've made it as high as a person with my level of integrity can make it.
No.
So
if you didn't have as much integrity,
I could have been way up.
But what would you have done different? What would you have done different with less integrity?
I wouldn't have done anything different, I'm just saying. But, you know, certain people who are open to certain activity and certain...
ratchetness.
Yeah, just who willing to do certain things and compromise they morals and standards.
But they're
able to go farther.
But there are rappers who you could argue are on a level higher than you, who I think are not.
They still have
integrity. There's Kanye West. You know what I'm saying? There's Hov. There are guys who have made it pretty high.
Sure.
But I do think
Exactly. In the history of, I'm not just talking about right now.
Ever.
I'm talking about in the history of music and rap music. It's just been more difficult for those of us who maintain a certain level of integrity to make it as high as others. Mm.
Yeah,
that's just historically speaking.
Okay, so they're giving us the wrap up sign. From Sam Crespo's giving us the wrap up sign.
What the fuck, man?
But Tip, hold on. I know, we're going to let him leave.
We need some time with these artists, man.
No, he's a huge star, though. Next time, this will be part one with T.I. Well, can we get a part two where we continue on from where we were?
That's fine.
Into the beginning of your career and the first few albums. That's what we got to get to next.
What's your favorite Tip album? I just want to know that.
I can't have a favorite, man.
King.
They all represent different. King. They represent who I was at different moments in my life.
I'll tell you my favorite. Urban Legend.
Urban Legend more than King?
The LRG Leaf jacket. Wow! Yo, that album, son.
That shit, oh, don't end on that note, Sam.
What about you, Fox?
Hold on, we just got to do one thing.
King, you know it. King's the... Come on.
You can't have a favorite Tip album. I think that, you know, you have to grow with the artist. You know what I mean? Why are you rolling your eyes?
It's like you learned that lesson from me.
I know, because I was in Miami a lot back then. Khaled was playing ASAP, Motivation. Like, that album had joints on it. Joint after joint after joint.
Hey, while you read it over, K-Fox, thank you for doing Juan Epstein. We appreciate you.
It's my pleasure. So,
listen, and I know you always think that I have something like slick to say. I have a lot more respect for you than I think you think that I have.
Hey, man.
But I can't. You're a legend, so I don't want to bother you.
It's all G, man. I ain't tripping, man.
I just think you look at me with this.
I got thick skin.
I know. You just look at me kind of sideways. You're like, this guy.
I wanted to ask about this story when I heard he knocked somebody the fuck out.
There's a lot of stories like that.
No, there's no comment about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now what it's going to be.
No comment.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.